This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Nolan McGraw, he's behind the glass. Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Not bad. It's tournament time. It's tournament time. And
most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, absolutely. Jeff, it's a lot going on these days around Maryland, but let's talk about the on-the-court stuff first. What are you looking forward to seeing from this team in their first game tomorrow against Grand Canyon?
Well, I think poise would be the first thing you're looking for, you know, to start the game, just because this, you know, Maryland team doesn't have much tournament experience as opposed to Grand Canyon, which has a ton of it. They got several guys that have been in the tournament multiple years. They got guys who, you know, have, you know, been through it, fifth-year seniors who transferred from big-time schools. So that's something to watch. Otherwise, you know, I think I'd look for them to pound the ball inside. They need to just show that they can dominate with their two bigs. Grand Canyon doesn't have nearly the sort of size they have. They do have a lot of length, you know, 6'7", 6'8", kind of guys, but they don't have the 6'10", 6'11", just one guy in their starting lineup. And, you know, the other thing is you have to execute. Maryland, you know, when they have lost, it's been late game issues, four buzzer beaters in their last four losses. So, you know, and this is a much more high pressure kind of stage where the late game, it often comes down to those late game decisions and free throws and things like that. So, you know, long story short, they're a 10-point favorite for a reason. They have a lot more talent, but, you know, as we know with the tournament, that doesn't guarantee anything.
All right, Jeff, like on Sunday, you know, I'm listening or watching or whatever, and then all of a sudden you hear, you know, about Willard and, you know, contract extension and he's got 4 years. And I'm like, who's after him? You know, that was the first thing that came to my mind, is because another school contacted, you know, Damon. So let's talk about that a little bit. Willard, where does that stand? And then this morning, you know, these guys were telling me about Damon Evans possibly at SMU. And then Damon was supposed to come on with us, and Damon just happened to cancel.
Yeah, that is very interesting, Vinny. Those rumors are flying. You know, smoke is billowing there. So it's crazy because, you know, you're entering arguably the biggest few days for the basketball program at Maryland in, you know, a couple decades maybe, if you think this is the best team they've had since then, which is during that span, which is very possible. And you got, first you got the stuff about the coach, and now you have the AD. So it's really very Maryland, classic Maryland timing on that. But, you know, in terms of who wants Willard, Villanova is at the center of all the rumors. You know, that's been reported yesterday that they'd offered him the job. I don't know if that's accurate yet. It's quite possible. Willard has not come out and shot down any of the rumors, which is seems telling potentially. But at the same time, that could be a negotiation tactic, because we know he wants more resources, more commitment from the school now that the revenue sharing era is arriving, and a lot of that money is going to football. And I think he has a lot of concerns about being well funded enough to compete in that, in this new landscape. So long story short, like, all bets are off at this point. You know, we just have to wait and see how things develop in the next few days or a few weeks.
We're talking to Jeff Ehrman, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jeff, let's kind of go down this dark road. Let's go down the road of what if, and assuming that some drastic change does happen, Willard does leave and go to Villanova. I mean, where do the Terps go from here, considering he was, you know, after Turgeon left, Willard was the slam dunk hire. He was the guy that a lot of people wanted. Where do they go from here if he does leave?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Cordell. I mean, it's hard to really say. It's so premature right now. You don't know, you know, who else is going to be at the top of their list, especially if something happens with the AD and, yeah, and he were to leave. So then you're looking at total anarchy, basically. So, you know, one guy I would keep an eye on would probably be Tony Skin, former Maryland assistant under Willard, who did a great job at George Mason this year. Young guy, local, great recruiter, lots of upside. You know, he'd be a guy to watch. Otherwise, you know, I haven't even gotten to the point of coming up with my list, but, you know, that might be something that I'll be doing in the near future. We'll see.
All right, Jeff, what are the rumors about, and when did they start about Damon?
Yeah, Vinny, those really just started yesterday. You know, I got a couple texts, and the sources were kind of iffy on it. They'd heard it, but they weren't sure how much there was to it. So I kind of started digging and left it alone. And the next thing I know, I see the same rumors start popping up all over online. So I think that there's definitely something to it, whether he's been offered the job or accepts the job, we'll wait and see. But I do think, you know, there is something there.
Well, Jeff, the games still have to be played. And we know that the Terps have Grand Canyon. That's guaranteed. How far do you truly, in your heart of hearts, believe that this Terps team, as talented as they are, we know they have an elite starting five. How far do you really believe that this team can go?
Well, I was definitely going into it open to picking them to go to the Elite Eight or Final Four, maybe. But, you know, then when that pass was set up and you see Florida, one of the best teams in the country, playing really well on their side, that makes it kind of hard to pick them past the Sweet 16. Obviously, they could do that. But, you know, right now, I think Sweet 16 to me is a baseline expectation. Anything less than that, and there's going to be a lot of disappointment, a lot of upset fans, which might seem unfair because it's not easy to go to a Sweet 16, but at the same time, these fans have been starved for a season like this for so long that, you know, there's outsized expectations on how it'll end.
Now, Jeff, who do you have, Colorado State or Memphis, you know, winning that game to be the opponent for the Terps?
Yeah, this is kind of trendy, so I'm not really breaking any ground here, but I like Colorado State. Everybody knows the 12s always beat fives. Memphis has a major injury. Colorado State I think they've won 10 in a row. They have one of the more respected young rising coaches, Nico Medved, who some people actually wanted Maryland to go after last time when they hired Willard. So I'm going Colorado State, but my picks have not been, you know, surefire by any stretch over the years.
All right, let's go to the women. Women there on the court on, what is that, Saturday. Saturday they play at 4 o'clock. They play Norfolk State. Maryland, of course, number 4, Norfolk State 13. How far do you see Brenda's team going this year? I know that they've dealt with injuries this year as well.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Brenda in those first two rounds. She seems to be in the Sweet 16 every year, last year being a major aberration. I think it was the first time they didn't get past the first round in maybe in her 20 years, maybe 20-plus years, maybe second time. Either way, you know, I think they very well could be a Sweet 16 team. It's hard to pick them much farther than that, though, just because of the struggles they had during the second half of the season.
Now, Jeff, anything happening with the football program going on right now, spring ball or anything else? Or all these?
How did I know you'd get that in on the day of March Madness, man?
Any new coach, any more new coaches coming in?
I think that's done, but you never know. I think it's pretty much done. You know, the one guy they haven't announced yet, Ted Monachino, who was at North Carolina last year, defensive line coach. Did a good job there previously, mostly an NFL coach. You know, he seems to be installed as a defensive coordinator, even though they haven't announced it. You know, they moved a lot of guys around, switched guys, different positions. Zach Spavadal, the safeties coach, moved to linebackers. He had James Thomas, no longer a special teams coach, brought in Andre Powell there, who has a better track record as a special teams coordinator. And then you had Latrell Scott moving from running backs to receivers. So they've shuffled quite a bit in addition to adding some new guys, but I think they're pretty much done now, I would think, in terms of staff movement.
Jeff, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. How can people follow you and check out your work?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Jeff_ERMANN, and the site is InsideMDSports.com.
Jeff, appreciate you, man. Enjoy the games. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, fellas.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it moving. We'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports last night. That's next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland and for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. He's behind the glass giving you the whip around, seeing what went on in the world of sports yesterday. Let's get started with the first four, the last of the first four games, I should say. First up, we had American against Mount St. Mary's, which was a high-scoring game for most of that game. And American, they lose their best player in the first half of the game, and that changed a lot for them. Mount St. Mary's was shooting the lights out of the gym for most of that game yesterday. They end up beating American 83-72 to be the 16 seed to move on in the East region. Xavier, they pull a big time comeback against Texas to win 86-80. Basically a home game for Xavier. They're like 45 minutes away from their campus out in Ohio. So they get the battle of the 11th seed. Am I the only one? I don't know. And maybe this is very small, but I can understand playing games for 16 seeds. I don't understand playing games for 11 seeds. That's a little weird to me. I've never understood that part. But Xavier gets the win. Texas's coach is on the hot seat. So, yeah, it's March. And, of course, the games start today. Creighton, Louisville, they're the first one up at 12:15 on CBS. In NBA last night, we had the Pacers squeak by the Mavericks 135-131. Had Cade Cunningham with a buzzer-beating three over my Miami Heat, 116-113. Cade Cunningham, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists in the win. The Thunder blow out the Sixers. Spurs blow out the Knicks as well. The Jazz take care of the Wizards on the road. And Luka Doncic and the Lakers, they take care of the Nuggets, 120-108. The Nuggets were without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in that one as well. The Caps back on the ice tonight, Vinny, against Philly at home.
Yeah, Philly's in last place, and, you know, the Caps are leading the Metro and actually leading the whole East. So the Caps are playing well. I mean, Tom Wilson got his 30th goal, first time he scored 30. Ovi's eight behind Gretzky. Goalies, you know, Logan Thompson's playing great. Playing pretty good hockey right now. Just got to take care of business tonight and just keep stacking performances is what they're doing. And the thing with them, Cordell, is they haven't had a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's been big for them. And what's going to be interesting to see is because they got a lot of dudes that don't have a ton of playoff experience. So how do they do in the playoffs? That's going to be big.
Let's move on to some NFL news. The Texans, they reached a one-year, $35.6 million extension with Danielle Hunter, the edge rusher that they got from Minnesota the year before. How do you feel about – I mean, that's a large chunk of change for 1 year, but, I mean, that's a premium position, and he's a premium player at that position.
Yeah, and, you know, they got rid of Tunsil, which saved mm-hmm. them money. And then they signed Stingley to a fortune, yep. too. So
he might be the best corner in football.
Yeah, they've been taking care of their stud dudes. So I kind of like what they've been doing. You know, I mean, who's going to play left tackle? But they were so bad last year. I mean, Stroud was getting killed.
Yeah.
So they probably figured, why pay a tackle $30 million when our guys are getting killed anyhow?
The Detroit Lions proposed a playoff seeding change to the league to change it to where wild card teams can still be a higher seed than a division winner if their record is better. And I feel like this has been a fight for a long time. I always think back to when
Seattle,
and that's when you had the Marshawn Lynch run.
Yep.
But do you think that now is the time that this will finally change?
You know what? Usually on this type of stuff, Cordell, it gets tabled till May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I would say it does not happen. A lot of the rule changes, they don't happen. I don't see this one happening. Would I like to see it happen? Yeah, because basically if you looked at last year, all those teams, you know, Minnesota would have had a home game. You know, the Rams would have been on the road. You know, there would have been a lot of things different. Biggest difference is home and away.
Right.
So, you know, is that fair to have, let's say, an 8-8 team and you're a 14-2 team? You know, I mean, I can see either side,
right.
You know, that, hey, we won our division, but your division sucks.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I want the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that divisions mean something in the NFL. You play these teams twice a year, that's six games right there. And I do feel like you should be rewarded for winning your division. And look, should that it, could that reward be just simply getting a playoff berth? Okay, sure. But I also don't want a seven and ten team to host a playoff game. I don't want that either. So I don't know where I reside in this. I feel like each case should be different, but you can't have it that way. So I'm curious to see what they do because, like we said, they've been fighting about this for a while. Also, it looks like the Commanders gave Deebo Samuel extra chunk of change on top of his last year of his
deal.
What
do you think of that, Cordell? I mean, because the Deebo Samuel last year, he looked overweight, out of shape.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look very good, so...
I'm not thrilled about them giving him more guaranteed money.
Yeah.
He already was guaranteed, I think, like $12 or $15 million this year anyway. So that should have been good enough. Now it's up to 17, and you know, they added $3 million worth of incentives. We'll see what happens. Whatever motivates him, I'm for it. But I thought that whatever they were going to be paying him this year in general was a nice amount of money. I don't know how this is going to look, to be honest with you. I don't.
I thought he looked done last year.
Yeah. And maybe the change of scenery helps with a better quarterback. He's, you know, the Niners are kind of trending down right now. The Commanders are somewhat trending up. So who knows? But if he looks like he did this past season, good riddance. I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, the GM was in San Fran.
Right. Right.
So they got familiarity there, so he knows exactly what he's getting.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's switch gears. Let's talk some Orioles baseball with my guy Jacob Calvin Meyer. He covers the team for the Baltimore Sun. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on in Sarasota and the Kobe Mayo situation and more. That's next here on The Fan. Coming up next, we have the Funhouse trip. We'll go through the Funhouse, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. But joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, it's my guy, Jacob Calvin Meyer. He covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, good morning.
My guy, Cordell. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? And I don't sound like my usual self, but it's me. I promise you, it's me. But Jacob, this Kobe Mayo stuff kind of took over Twitter the last couple of days. And I know you guys were out there. How did you feel about what he said? And did you feel like what he said warranted an apology?
Well, listen, Kobe put out something that was, I guess, sort of an apology or walking back what he had said. So presumably he felt that it warranted one. I don't know if that was something that the team went to him and urged him to post something like that. Personally, I don't think Kobe had anything to apologize for. I think everything he said in a professional manner. Half of what he said is just fact. And the other half of what he said was a 23-year-old who was expressing some disappointment in a pretty professional way and showing a little bit of his emotions in the moment, his feelings in the moment. I don't really see a problem with that. Obviously, I'm biased in my point of view, considering I was one of the people in the scrum who was asking him questions. But at the end of the day, I think that these players should feel free to express what they're feeling in a professional way, and that's exactly what Kobe did.
Hey, Jacob, has he improved defensively from what you've seen?
Yeah, listen, I've actually been really impressed by his defense this spring. I was sort of a little bit of a skeptic last year when I had seen him play, but he's quite athletic, especially for his size. The throwing was sort of my biggest concern about his defense last year. And aside from a few balls here and there, not even in games, just in practice, that he threw away. I thought his throwing looked improved. He's athletic at third base. Listen, they don't need him to be a great defensive third baseman. They need him to be serviceable over there, and then they need him to be able to play first. And you've seen the improvements that Ryan Mountcastle has made at first base defensively over the years. And Kobe Mayo, in my estimation, is more athletic than Ryan Mountcastle. So if it does come to the day where Kobe Mayo is this team's everyday first baseman, I think there's a pretty high ceiling for him over there because I think he can be a good defender. One other thing I want to say about Mayo in terms of his comments that I do think some fans took out of context was when he said that he had that he's proved everything he's needed to. He meant in AAA, mm-hmm. not in the big leagues, not in spring training. Kobe Mayo would be the first one to tell you that last year didn't go the way it wanted to and that he didn't have a good enough spring. He was just expressing his disappointment in going back to a level that he has already proven he's too good for. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, just like there's nothing wrong with the Orioles sending him down there because they have one of the deepest rosters in baseball, and it doesn't make sense to have Cody Mayo on the team and have him ride the bench for 10 days until Gunnar Henderson comes back.
We're talking to Jacob Calvin Meyer, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Jacob, we know that the Orioles are looking to figure out the last spot in this rotation right now. I'm leaning towards Kate Povich, but you've seen more of these guys throughout the spring than I have. How do you feel that this will end up going in terms of who gets the last spot in the rotation?
Yeah, funny story. I do a roster projection every year, and last year, all throughout spring training, I was in the camp that Jackson Holliday would not be making the team. I was pretty skeptical that the Orioles would have him start the season. I'm a believer in that the service time stuff is at least a part of the calculus. And I was on that train all spring, despite the fact that everybody else was leaning that Jackson would make the team. And then I head back down for the end of spring training after taking a little bit of a break in the middle. And Jackson plays so well in like a handful of games that I'm like, there's no way they leave this kid off the team. And my eyes deceived me, and I was wrong in my final projection by putting Jackson on the team. The same exact thing is happening with Cade Povich right now, and I'm making the same decision again, and I'll see if I'm right or not. I was always of the belief that Suarez would be ahead of Povich in the pecking order if an injury did happen. I think Suarez was too good last season, and I thought Povich had some things to prove still in AAA. And then I come back down here, and the way that he pitched the other day was so impressive to me that I think it pushes it to me that you need to have your 13 best pitchers on this team, and the way to do that is to put Povich in the rotation. It gives you another left-hander. He looks like the guy that he was in September, and I just think it might stunt his development if you send him back to AAA. And additionally, with Kittredge out of the bullpen, this bullpen looks kind of shaky to me, and having Suarez back there, and he can do a lot of different things in the bullpen, either as a long reliever, he can be a two-inning guy, or if they need him, he can be a one-inning, a right-handed reliever that can throw one inning, especially if Felix can't throw on back-to-back days, Dominguez doesn't look great, and Kittredge is hurt. I think they need to stabilize that bullpen and get the upside that Povich can give you in the rotation.
Hey, Jacob, what do you think of Holliday's defense, number one, and then his throwing? Because last year, it looked like, you know, he wasn't sure throwing, the ball was floating. Does it look much more confidently?
Everything he's doing looks more confident, which is good. On the bases, at the plate, on defense. I thought his second base defense looked much improved just in the fact that and listen, you know this from football. It's no different. If you change a position, you're thinking a little bit too much about every move you're making. And so at second base, he's thinking, but instead of just doing. And I've seen this year, it just comes more naturally to him. And then moving back over to shortstop, I think there's some concern about how what his shortstop defense is going to look like, especially since his arm strength doesn't seem to be one of his better tools over there if he has to play shortstop if Gunnar Henderson is out to start the season. I think he's going to be just fine at shortstop. I don't think he's going to be great over there, but it's not going to be something where it's going to be like debilitating or if it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do when Gunnar's out? I think Jackson's going to be just fine at shortstop. I've been impressed with some of his shortstop defense as well. He looks natural over there. He looks like somebody that played that position for the first 20 years of his life.
Jacob, I think I asked you this question last year on the back end of camp, but I'm going to ask it again. Can you give me one good thing that you've seen throughout camp that you're willing to put stock in and one negative thing that you feel like you can put stock in at this point?
One good thing and one negative thing. Okay, so I'll say the negative thing, honestly, is I'm concerned about this bullpen. I think the team can be good enough to overcome a shaky bullpen, but I don't think Felix is going to be the Felix that he was in 2023, at least not to start the year. They're also not going to use him that way. The injury to Kittredge really hurts, and then I think the thing that most concerns me about the bullpen is that there's no flexibility back there. A flexibility in different ways. There's no flexibility in terms of being able to option guys down, up and down. Like Keegan Aiken is really the only optionable guy in that bullpen. Nobody else has options. And I don't really know if it makes sense to be optioning Keegan Aiken up and down throughout the season. So that's a concern. And then flexibility in terms of how you use these pitchers, it just seems to be a bullpen to me that wasn't – I don't really understand the construction of it because right? Take away Felix. You've got right-handers in Cano and Dominguez and then Kittredge before he got hurt, who are significantly better against right-handers, which is a good thing, except for the fact that you're not just going to be able to bring them in against righty pocket. It's really Dominguez and Kittredge last season. And then you've got lefties, and it's the same thing for them, that they have pretty aggressive platoon splits. They got rid of two relievers in Jacob Webb and Danny Coulomb, who were platoon neutral, that you could throw against righties or lefties. And that was a big value to this bullpen, and there's nobody like that in the pen this year. So that's a concern. And then one thing I'm going to buy stock into, I guess this is just like a little bit too general. I would say Jackson Holliday, honestly. I probably would buy all the stock in him if there's any left. But just generally this offense being elite, like this might be the best offense in baseball, not counting the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are so good that they need to probably go to outer space to find competition this season.
Hey,
this offense is really good in a lot of different ways. I mean, they're going to have Ryan Mountcastle batting seventh potentially. So this is a good offense.
Jacob, who improved the most during training camp?
Well, I don't know if anybody really improves throughout camp, but who am I higher on now than I was before coming in here? Honestly, Cade Povich might be the answer to that. I don't know if I would have said I was a skeptic of Cade Povich. I hadn't really seen him pitch a ton. I just know that the stuff isn't electric as a starter. He doesn't have crazy swing and miss stuff despite the numbers in the minors. And so he was a guy that I looked at and said, okay, you're going to either need to have really good command of your fastball, or you're going to need to have multiple off-speed pitches that you can really throw in a bunch of different counts. And he's looked outstanding this spring to me. In my head, I've sort of leveled him up about what his upside, what his potential can be as a big league starter after watching him this spring.
Jacob, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. How can people keep up with you over at The Sun?
Hey, always a pleasure for coming on. Just follow me on Twitter at @JCalvinMeyer. I do a mailbag every Friday morning, so feel free to shoot me questions over there or email me.
Appreciate it, Jacob. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jacob.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse, see what you guys are talking about on the text line with Nolan McGraw. That's next on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
Can I just say, nothing gets you more excited for March Madness, the start of the tournament, than turning on CBS and seeing The Price is Right.
Right.
Leading you into that first game.
People winning cars and dancing on stage.
Less than 30 minutes. We're almost there. Almost made it. All right. As far as our texts here, we'll start with the news of the day here with Maryland. This texter says, Maryland fans aren't allowed to be happy for prolonged periods of time. The thought of this program having to start over from square one just 3 years after hiring Willard after a long coaching search is ridiculous. This fan base just got back to being all in the past few months. Xfinity Center tickets selling out. Kiss that goodbye if you have to bring a new guy in this offseason.
I would say it depends on who the new guy would be if you have to bring one in. You know, I mean, and I guess the biggest question is, you know, if Damon's gone too, who's doing the hiring? You know, I mean, because that's going to set it back even more. You know, is it the president of the university? Because you got to have a search for an AD unless you're going to promote from within.
These here on the Orioles. Texter here says the Orioles continue to waste the time of some of their prospects. Why keep trying things out in the infield with the likes of Ramon Arias and Jorge Mateo? It's no wonder that young guys like Mayo want to leave here. The way they handled some of their pitchers as well has been ridiculous. The team hurt both Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez handling their injuries. Same thing with Mayo now. He will take off as soon as he gets a chance to play for another team.
I mean, Okay.
Well, he doesn't have a choice for
a while. Yeah, he doesn't have a choice. So, I mean, I feel him on the pitching injuries. Yes, the Orioles have some questions to answer in terms of how it got to the point that it got to, especially with Bradish and now with Grayson. But, you know, I don't have a problem with the Ariases and the Mateos playing, man, because people want to see these young kids get out there, and I do too. But you also want production. You also want to see these guys win games. They're out of that window of, you know, experimenting and just putting young guys out there for development. The Orioles are trying to now win games. That's what we all want. We want to see them make noise in October. And I think, you know, having guys like Urias and Mateo, those are bona fide defensive players. I know Mateo has kind of gone down over the years defensively, but you know what you're getting out of those guys. Whereas Mayo, we know how good his bat is in AAA. We haven't seen his bat look that good at the major league level. We haven't seen his glove look good at the major league level either. So he's got to earn it. He's no different from anybody else.
And we'll close with this one here from Eric in Bel Air, who says he's a big fan of NFL division winners getting that automatic home game in the playoffs, even if it wouldn't be strictly based on record. He says, though, with that being said, he would be fine with a rule tweak where division winners have to be above 500 to keep that right. No more seeing an 8-8-1 or 8-9 team, something less than 500, get that home game. Otherwise, the current rule seems appropriate.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's not bad, you know, because you play 17 games now, so you're not going to be 500. So if you don't have a 500 record, then, you know, you can't get a home game. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, I thought about that. But, and I also had to think about it, like, when's the last time, granted, it happens, but who was the last, I'd have to go back and look. I remember Ron Rivera and Washington winning the NFC East when they had a losing record a couple of years ago. Other than that, recently, maybe the Saints or the Rams or somebody like that.
I think the only, Tampa? Well, the notorious one that everyone remembers is Seattle.
Well, definitely
Marshawn's run.
Right,
and they
were
7-9, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty egregious.
Yeah.
Wasn't Tampa at one point?
Recently?
Yes.
Possibly. I do believe it was one of those South divisions.
Yeah.
I do recall that. I can't remember what year, but it's not an every year instance, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, if that's the middle ground, I'd be fine for that with that. Because I don't mind division winners getting home field advantage.
They did 2022, 8-9.
Yeah.
First in the division.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I'm for that. I wouldn't be against that at all. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll talk a little bit about Ronnie Stanley rejoining the team and more surrounding the Ravens. That's next here on The Fan.